From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The words of the Father at the Transfiguration from the cloud, "Listen to him." Those words are not a suggestion. They're not an encouragement. They're not an invitation. No, it's a command. Listen to him, because the words of my Son are the words of everlasting life. When we listen to the words of God and put it into practice, we're blessed. That's what happened to Abraham in the first reading. He was obedient. He heard God's word and he obeyed, and God blessed him. We're in the middle of this Lenten homily series on the Ten Commandments, looking at two commandments every Sunday. Again, the more and more we come to understand the commandments, to listen to God's word and put it into practice, the more and more we open ourselves up to the tremendous blessings of God. Last weekend we looked at the first and second commandments. This weekend we're looking at the third and fourth commandments. So like last week, I'm just going to read through some questions. So we do kind of a little group examination of conscience around the third and fourth commandments. The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. For us as Christians, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, is today, Sunday. Questions I ask myself when thinking about this commandment. Have I missed Mass on Sunday or a holy day of obligation without a serious reason? It always feels a little ironic to me preaching about Sunday Mass attendance at a Sunday Mass. It's why you're here. It's the ultimate preaching to the choir, right? Because the people who should hear this are the ones that are not here. When you look at mass attendance statistics over the last several decades in this country, those from older generations can testify too that mass attendance is just plummeted. That this understanding of the importance of the third commandment of keeping holy the Sabbath day by going to Mass every Sunday, that it's a grave sin, a mortal sin, to miss Mass on Sunday without a serious reason, that's gone from the minds of so many Catholics. And so it's just something we have to continue to strive to recapture in the Catholic culture, the importance of coming to Mass on Sunday. That nothing, not vacation, not sports, not relaxation, nothing is more important every Sunday than coming to worship at the sacrifice of the Mass. Have I been unnecessarily late for Mass or left early without a serious reason? Have I been inattentive or lacked devotion at Mass? Are you paying attention right now? Have I taken opportunities to learn more about the Mass? You know, one of the best ways to learn more about the Mass is to come to daily Mass. If you come to daily Mass, it'll change your life. Now, I know with work schedules and kids, sometimes it's not always possible to get to daily Mass, but is there at least one daily Mass I can get to every week? The more and more we come to the sacrifice of the Mass, the more and more we come to love and appreciate the Mass and understand more about what's happening at the Mass. Did I keep the fast and abstinence requirements on the prescribed days of the church, which, to be honest, are pretty low. Again, those from older generations probably remember some more strict fasting and abstinence requirements that have changed in the previous decades. Right now, the church asks us to fast 2 days a year, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. 2 out of 365. That's a pretty low bar. Doesn't mean you can't fast more than that. And then to abstain from meat on Ash Wednesday and then the Fridays of Lent and Good Friday. Most Catholics aren't aware that prior to 1965, you had to abstain as a faithful Catholic, you had to abstain from eating meat every Friday, all throughout the year, not just during Lent. when that changed in 1965, the U.S. bishops said, if you're going to have meat on a Friday outside of Lent, then you should do some other form of penance. Every Friday is like a mini Good Friday, and I should do some form of penance every Friday, all throughout the year, to remind myself this was the day that Jesus died for me. Have I allowed unnecessary work to interfere with worship, rest, and family life that God has ordained for Sunday? The first precept of the church says that as Catholics, we have to attend Mass every Sunday, every holy day of obligation, and rest from servile labor on those days. What is servile labor? Servile labor is the work of servants. Think like cleaning the house, doing the laundry, yard work, cleaning out the garage, those kind of things. We should avoid that kind of servile work on Sundays. Now, the only little caveat there is maybe you find some of those things renewing, refreshing. Then if that's the case, and I'd say that might be okay to do on Sunday then. I mean, I don't know too many people who love doing the laundry, but if that's like really your thing and you find a lot of refreshment in that, I guess you could do that on Sunday. But again, otherwise we don't want to rest from those servile labor on Sundays. Have I observed the 1 hour fast before receiving communion? Again, super low bar. At a Sunday Mass, unless you're walking into the church eating Doritos, it's pretty hard not to keep the 1 hour fast. So daily Mass, you gotta be more careful. Have I showed proper reverence during Mass? Have I dressed appropriately for Mass? Chewed gum during Mass? When the conversation, the topic of dress at Sunday Mass comes up, this is one that can be a little controversial, and Father can get a lot of mean and nasty emails after such homilies. When you look at our culture, clearly over the last several decades, our culture has become much more casual when it comes to dress. If you look at old photos at the historic church of people at Mass on Sunday, everyone in the 1950s, everyone is wearing their Sunday best. Even that expression, your Sunday best, has just kind of been lost in our culture. Now, too, if you look at photos of a baseball game in the 1950s, every guy that's there is wearing a shirt and tie and a hat at a baseball game. So again, our culture had a much more formal dress in many different avenues. And sadly, we've lost a lot of that. Now, again, I think some of that, in my opinion, is good. Like, I don't want to wear a tie to a baseball game. But for Sunday Mass, it's a little different, right? This is the question I'd ask to reflect on. And again, I'll leave it to your own conscience. I feel like this is a good barometer for me, or for any Catholic. When I come to Mass on Sunday and then I go home to relax, do I have to change my clothes when I get home? If I get home to relax and I don't have to change my clothes, then maybe I'm a little too casual at Mass. I mean, I dress up for Mass on Sundays. I don't wear this when I'm lounging around on Sunday afternoon. Casualness is the enemy to the sacred. Casualness is the enemy to the sacred. Isn't it obvious why there's been such a tremendous drop in Eucharistic faith amongst Catholics in this country? The more and more casual we become around the Mass and how we dress and how we approach the sacrament and how even the way some priests will celebrate Mass, music at Mass sometimes being irreverent. When Mass becomes this big casual event, then how can this little piece of bread be all that important then? But if this little piece of bread that becomes God in the Eucharist is really true, then there's nothing more sacred than that. And I want to respond in a way that acknowledges the sacredness of what's happening at Mass. Have I chewed gum at Mass? I mean, you want to get Father Park on his soapbox? ultimate pet peeve when I look out and I see somebody chewing gum at mass. I mean, again, that just casualness. And especially if someone comes up for communion chewing gum, I'm not giving that person communion. I just can't do it. It's embarrassing, it's awkward. I don't like saying that, but I cannot give the Blessed Sacrament to someone that's chewing gum. Well, what, I mean, it's like a sacrilege. The third commandment, what does it really summarize? This is the fundamental question. Do I center my week around Sunday, and do I find my true rest in God, in worship, in prayer, and in the relationships God has blessed me with, specifically my family? Fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Questions to reflect on. Have I disobeyed or disrespected my parents? I tell parents, remember, parents, the fourth commandment is your friend. Now, obviously, our obedience to our parents is going to look different as we age, especially as we leave the house and become adults. Have I disobeyed or been disrespectful to lawful authority? My parents, teachers, employers, civil authorities? Have I shown due gratitude and respect to those who have been generous and helpful towards me? Think about the people that have authority over me, specifically like my parents. Those in authority who have been good to me, I should show my gratitude to them of how they've blessed my life. Have I neglected physical and spiritual duties towards my spouse or children? Have I neglected my parents, especially as they advance in age? Always encouraged. I see this a lot here amongst all of you, the parishioners of St. Michael. I see a great love for parents as they age, and the way that you care for your aging parents, it's a beautiful witness of charity. Have I been diligent about educating my children in the faith? Have I delayed having my children baptized soon after birth? Do I bring my children to Mass? Obviously, I'm not a parent. I've never had the experience of trying to wake kids up on Sunday morning and get them fed and dressed and out the door and in the car and here to church. I've never had that experience before. And I'm sure it's tough at times. And so again, it's encouragement, just thanks for the parents who do bring your kids to Mass. Thank you for that witness. I know it's probably not always easy, but God's going to bless you tremendously. Even if you spend half the Mass, you know, because you have a little one that's just having a tough time, there's still so much grace you're receiving by being here at the Mass. And so, of course, are your children. Have I been diligent about protecting my children from moral and spiritual harm? For example, by permitting bad company, allowing unrestricted, unmonitored internet access, permitting bad movies, television, etc. Again, I have tremendous sympathy for parents these days, trying to raise children in a world in which young people are bombarded with garbage from our secular media, from TV, music, movies, etc. And having to almost be hawkish as a parent to help kind of protect your child from those things. I'm sure that's difficult at times. So again, just encouragement to parents, keep fighting the good fight. This, of course, brings up the topic of cell phones, which again is a whole nother homily. But I'd say, you know, parents, if I'm going to give my kid a cell phone, a cell phone, then strongly encourage locking that thing down so they don't have complete access to the internet. Because there's a lot of, I hear lots of confessions. And those phones are a source of tremendous sin for many, many people, especially young people. And so that's where, again, parents just really being cautious when giving phones to your kids and locking access down to certain apps and sites, etc. What is the fourth commandment all about in summary? The question, do I respect lawful authority above me? And do I take care of those who are under my authority? That's the third and fourth commandment. I have not perfectly kept those commandments in my life. Neither have any of you perfectly kept those commandments. We're all sinners. So just like we did last week, let's just end with a little act of contrition. It's on page 1049, if you need the text, the traditional act of contrition, 1049 at the bottom of the page. Just acknowledge in the ways that we've not been faithful to the third or fourth commandment. Let's ask for God's mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, I am heartfully sorry for having offended you. I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because they offend you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasions of sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.